Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so the Phillies get a win last night, but it doesn't exactly solve the problems. They really have gotten good starting pitching lately, but they just don't hit, you know, other than Lizardo, but they just don't hit. And last night, obviously, was another example, but they do get two runs in the 11th, and they win the game 4-3. All right, so let's get Ruben Amaro's perspective. We love having Ruben in studio with us.
Ruben Amaro in studio is brought to you by CJ's Tire and Auto, 18 convenient locations. We keep things moving, CJTire.com.
Rube, how are you, pal?
Great. Better, great, about better now.
Better,
after
right?
Yesterday, yeah, it was ugly for a while.
Because, you know, this is still ugly. This is still not going to be exactly happy show, but at least it's...
It can't
it's,
be happy show.
Yeah, but it's less...
Less
guy's fault. Yeah, exasperation. So, Ruben, you know, and you've been listening, driving in. We're trying to figure out what they should do. And there's like 10 or 15 different things they could realistically do. What would you do? You're the general manager of the team or the manager of the team. Like I said earlier, I think I've seen enough of Boehm. I'm done. And that's saying something coming from me because I stood by him for a long time. Seltzer's talking about maybe trading players away in a month if they don't prove that they have a shot to, you know, convince him of... They can win the World Series. I think they still can, but I know right now no one's in the mood to hear that, but I do. Ruben, what would you do?
So the tough part about this is to try to assess what this team is still, because are they the team that, you know, was awesome in May, or are they the team that has been really struggling in the early part of June, late May, early June? And I'm not sure what they are, and that's the problem. I think you have to sort of wait another month or so to see whether these guys really start to do what they have been, you know, asked to do, which is slug a little bit more.
It's not an unreasonable position to wait.
I think you gotta
wait. I think you hit something really important. It is hard to know which way this is going to go.
It is. And I mean, the back of the baseball card means something, and I think that you're going to get, you know, a little bit more punch from all those guys. Boehm's come a long way as far as just getting hits. I mean, he started off...
But he's...
Awful, but
retreated a long way in terms of having the right attitude and outlook on baseball and being a good teammate.
I mean, Ruben, enough of slamming that helmet down. I mean, enough of the Greg Jeffrey,
the impetuous play.
Enough,
what about swinging
enough.
So early? Like he feels like that, he's now swinging childishly to his detriment, like in a way that. It's hurting his game.
Part of why he never walks.
I don't have as much of an issue with him swinging early in the count as if he's going to swing early in the count, you'd like to see him try to drive the ball more consistently. So I view an 0-0 swing much like I would view a 2-0 or a 3-0 swing, where I'm really going to try to get out front and get extended. And that is the difference that I see, is that he has the same approach, which isn't the worst approach, which is to use the middle of the field. And there are times when, you know, you want to drive the ball. And in an 0-0 count as a hitter, I always felt like it was important for me to really get out front and get extended. Or, you know, try to produce a, you know, some kind of action that was appropriate for the situation. So if there is a man on second base, nobody out, I'm definitely trying to move that runner. If it's I'm leading off an inning, I'm trying to hit a double. Yeah. If it's a man on first, second base and two outs, I want to drive that run in. So that's I don't have any problem with a guy hitting early in the count. I just want to have them get off a more, I don't know, damaging swing.
No question. Ruben, what about center field? So to me, you got three options. You got stick with what you got, which is not an option. You got Crawford when he's ready. That's when he's ready. I don't know when he's ready. And you got door number three, which is you acquire somebody.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think that it depends on what you're able to do otherwise, because I still think that the back of the bullpen is an important piece of the element here. And, you know, obviously they're not getting any offense from, you know, left field and center field, and that's a concern. It was big for Marsh and his own demeanor and his own mental makeup to come up with a big base hit
that
yesterday.
That was good.
Yeah. And he had another base hit. I mean, the other at bat he had almost rolled into a double play, but it was good to see him at least drive the ball and you know, do what was necessary to win the baseball game. That was big for him. I don't know if it continues for another couple of weeks, you may have to think about, you know, bringing the kid and seeing what he can do. The problem with that is, again, he can't be the savior of this team. The guys who are there already, the Stotts and the Bohms of the world, are going to have to play better. They have to play better for this team because you can't replace all of them. That's not going to happen. And so the Stotts and the Bohms of the world, Casty had a couple of hits yesterday, not the best base running at the end of the game. But those guys are going to have to produce, and you got to get, you know, Harper back. You know, I mean, listen, we've been relying on Schwarber so much, and he's been so good that when he has, you know, he has those times when he's not really producing, it's glaring that other guys are not.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't replace all these guys. They have to play well. And if they don't, then it's going to be very, very difficult to get to where they need to be.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. What would you do if you're running the Phils and you're trying to figure out how to get them out of this mess? What are you changing? Chris and Ben Salem. Chris, good morning.
Joe, welcome back.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, on the Bohm thing, as a once broken down future runner-up presidential candidate once said, welcome to wisdom.
Let me tell you
Nicely
something.
Nicely done there, Chris.
If I am the runner-up for presidency, might take that. Means I got pretty far. Means I could probably go on a speaking tour and make a lot of money just giving speeches. That wouldn't be a bad way to live in my 60s.
I love it. I'm just
probably better than being president.
It probably is. Certainly less pressure for the next 4 years. All right, Chris, what do you make of the Phils thing, and what would you do to fix it?
Well, I'm kind of in the boat with Jimmy here. I called in yesterday and said, you know, it's another 2-4 weeks if they're in this same spot. You know, you start. I'm looking at peeling off Wheeler because he's your best team.
That's throwing in the towel on the whole era, not just the season. If you trade Wheeler, that's saying I don't believe in the next 2 to 3 years. I can't do that. I think some of you are going too far, man. Too far.
Your starting rotation is set to go with the young guys, and you have to start, you know, turning this roster over, because Bohm and Stott aren't, to Ruben's point, they have to play better. And honestly, in my opinion, I can lean on, what, 22 with Stott when he had the good year, or 23, whatever.
23.
Whatever
year was 23,
he,
really.
Whatever. Yeah, 20. He was a 265, 270 hitter, and was, you know, he wasn't missing so many balls in the middle of the plate and balls that were elevated.
Well, Chris, I'll tell you this. So we have this Twitter poll about who's, you know, which hitter is bothering you the most. And for me, it's Bohm. But if the question was which hitter is concerning you the most, my answer would be Stott. And the reason is because coming into this season, once we heard about the injury to Stott last year, I thought, all right, you get him physically right. Let's get him back on track. This is someone I can ride with for 5 to 7 years. And now, Chris, you know what I'm starting to think now? Bryson Stott, I gave you a name from 35 years ago. I'm starting to think of Juan Samuel. Like, if people that are old enough to remember, there was a lot of, and I love Sammy. He's one of my favorite Phillies
Sammy
ever.
Sammy was even better to start than Stott.
No, he was.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah.
Sammy was better. But some players just flash something early, and then it never totally, like, why was Ron Hextall's best season in hockey his rookie year? I don't know. I just know it was.
Right.
Like some guys, they just never really improve, and some even regress. And they don't give you that 8 to 10 year thing that you thought you had. And that's what I'm really starting to worry about Stott on.
Well, and looking at the whole thing, the whole picture, right? Like, you go to Jimmy's point. You've got 5 zeros right now. Or not, you know, the veterans are just not playing up to...
They're not.
...star or superstar status. And, like, if they just become good, that's not good enough, right? And then you've got the two holes in the bullpen that you need to fill. And then, you know, it's just a lot that needs to get filled. And, like, that's not what championship teams are doing. Like,
yeah, except there is this... But, Chris, there is this possibility. If they get to the postseason, they could starting pitch their way to a world championship.
Oh, yeah, right.
Ruben, you agree with that?
It's totally
absolutely,
thing, right?
Unequivocally. Agree with
like, that. They can be an average-hitting team the whole regular season and get to the postseason, pitch superb, still be like an average-hitting team
they
and win the World Series.
They need a better bullpen, though.
They do need a better bullpen.
But is your starting pitching going to be holding up with this bullpen what it is?
Well, it's a fair question.
Deeper into games. Yeah. You know, they got to go 7-8 innings now because there's just not enough support from the back end.
All right, Chris, give us a great answer. A scene involving a college.
All right, I'm going to go to Van Wilder, and I'm going to go with the main antagonist, Richard Bagg, getting the colon blow from Tara Reid and ending up on the trash can.
All right, you got it. And Rhea and I maybe know why we're specifically giggling at that name, because we had a coworker.
Yes, we did. Engineer.
I mean, I can say this because it was his actual name.
It was his name.
It was his name, so I'm going to say it. This is a person that worked at, I mean, for when I co-worked with him at WYSP. And then did he also work at WIP, Rhea?
I think so, like a long time ago.
All right, so his name was Dick Bagg. And everybody connected the names. Like, it wasn't Dick Bagg. Everyone's calling him, like, Dick Bagg.
Yeah, I heard it was never just...
It was Dick Bagg.
Mr. Wow. Bagg, or hey, tell Bagg to get over here. Or hey, tell Dick to join us. It was always, Dick Bagg needs to be there.
Yeah.
It was always, make sure Dick Bagg tags along.
How do the parents do that to the man?
Exactly, Ruben.
What are they doing?
You do think about this as a parent.
Well, and I'll give you one. So when Merrill would end the Eagles broadcast, and, you know, the game is presented by, and, you know, we thank
Chief Engineer,
he always would do Richard Bagg.
That's because he's a professional. He's trying
Merrill.
To save the guy.
Classy. He's a classy man.
He's a classy man.
All right. Well, shout out to Dick Bagg. 215-592-9494.
I think I know where you and I are leaning toward.
He's a good guy, too. I hope he's still doing well. All right. Speaking of football, something Jaws said recently about the NFC East. We'll get to that. Something from Sirianni as the Eagles get ready to reconvene with the mandatory camp today. More on the fills, your thoughts and calls on all of it. And you can win the gift card. Best scene ever from a college-themed movie. What do you got, Joe Cameron, John Ritchie? It's 94 WIP.
My dog, Chaney, huge part of our family's big part of what makes our home happy and fun every day. Frankly, a little chaotic because he's like a toddler who's never going to grow up. It is my job to keep Chaney happy and healthy. The best place to help keep him healthy, Dogs and Cats Rule Stores. So if your pet has any specific dietary restrictions, maybe allergies like my Chaney does, the staff at Dogs and Cats Rule are the best trained in the business to help you with all of that. Dogs and Cats Rule, it is the place to go for natural flea and tick prevention. Dogs and Cats Rule, they've got an amazing selection of food that you will not find anywhere else. Raw, gently cooked, freeze-dried, air-dried, dehydrated, premium kibble and can. It can't be beat anywhere else. Also, if you're going to be outside, you're going to be, it's going to warm up eventually. The sun, I promise you, will come out again. So freshen up your outdoor toys. Get them a new ball launcher, maybe something to tug on. Visit Dogs and Cats Rule. They have 7 convenient neighborhood locations, 2 in New Jersey, Princeton and Pennington, in Pennsylvania, Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, Bluebell, and New Hope. For more information, online at dogsandcatsrule.pet. That's Dogs and Cats Rule. Shop small, shop local, shop family.
All right, good morning to you. Well, of course, the notable death from music. What was that, 2 days ago?
Yesterday.
That was yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Sly Stone,
or at least
Stone,
it was
right?
reported yesterday.
Yeah.
Sly Stone, man. Yeah. Sly and the Family Stone. Classic.
Mm. Yeah, it's a great song, and obviously a notable... I hear you, man. Notable notable band. And look, we'll try to bring some happy to the show, but you know, we're not.
Hey, can I say something notable real quick?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Pirates, when we were at in Pittsburgh, yep. The fans that came out, It was extraordinary. There were so many fans.
Oh, you mean Philly's fans?
Yeah, I know Philly's fans. Philly does a trip by now, which is awesome.
Pirates fans.
I am telling... No, please.
That's what I thought you were saying.
Don't be crazy.
They love that stadium, Ruth. They love going to see it.
I do love the stadium. I like that ballpark a lot. The setting's great. But the fans coming out, dude, they were... Even in the losses, I mean, they're not happy. They weren't happy, but we would be crossing the bridge afterwards and walking back, and people were like, happy as hell. Just to be there. Kids.
That's great.
Adults.
That's great, man.
Older adults. It's just so cool to have the Philly fans have that kind of enthusiasm and joy for our sports team.
Well, I'll say this, Ruben, because I've...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Rabo! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Long thought.
In the midst of getting swept.
Right, in the midst of getting swept.
Correct.
When you guys won the division in 93 and you won it in Pittsburgh, I've always wondered why more people didn't make the trek out there. Like, if that happened today and the team was about to clinch, I feel like there'd be 25,000 Phillies fans that would drive 4 hours to go see that game. It was a couple thousand back then, but it wasn't that many, is my recollection that night.
It was fun to be on the field that day.
Yeah, I think the Eagles thing made... Well, that's awesome, Ruben. I think the Eagles thing made a big difference. I mean, I remember back that Miami game in
the Miami game was
when it all changed.
We knew
Miami.
It was crazy by the amount of calls we were getting for people at the airport heading down, and we went, oh, there's probably going to be a lot of Eagles fans who weren't prepared.
Yeah, that was really a memorable night. Yeah. And then the Eagles thing, it's
Monday
been
night
Monday
game?
Night.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. And it's been 22 years now with the Eagles thing rocking out. And I think the Phillies thing's picking up steam also.
Did Correll have a big touchdown in that Miami game?
I don't know.
Did Correll have a really cool play, diving over a pylon or something?
Not sure. Right. That was the three-headed monster year, though, so he certainly might have, because he had his years that he was totally injured, and he had his years that he wasn't.
Joe, dude, we count on you to remember every play of these games from that era. I mean, come on, man. That's what you do, the hammer, you know?
Yeah.
That might have been a game that was...
It's the day I met Bill Berge. I know that.
There you go.
Me and Bill watched that game together. So that's my recollection of that game. But
that was one of those that could have been
a turning point
for Correll Buckhalter type game, and unfortunately he wasn't able to stay healthy. But the Correll that we saw
in practice,
we saw every day was just mind-blowing how good he was.
He was very talented.
He never got to show it the way he... I wish he would.
Good memory, John. He scored on a 2-yard run with 14 minutes left to break a 24-all tie.
Wow.
He reached over the pylon with the ball extended, and they had to review it.
Okay.
Look at that. Score one for Rich.
There you go.
How about that? All right, so don't score too many for the Phils. They did get a win last night, and they deserve credit for that. I guess maybe Wheeler deserves the most credit just because he, you know, held the other team down for a while. But it took to extra innings. Look, Otto Kemp, nice job. Back-to-back bunts, Stott and Kemp. You know, maybe the biggest hit, I guess, is JT's to lead off the bottom of the 11th. Because that ties the game right away in the bottom of the 11th, and then ultimately Marsh with the winning hit. But it hasn't been pretty lately. So, amongst other things, we're discussing what would you do if you've got your hands on the Phillies operation. You can do anything with it. You can trade players. You can dump players. I mean, here's what I said about Boehm earlier. Sometimes it's about finding value for players, and that's normally the objective, clearly. Sometimes it's just about subtracting a player and just saying, you know what, enough. And that's where I'm at on Boehm. I'm not happy about it. I mean, I thought Boehm was, you know, one of the guys I actually thought a couple years ago could be here for a long time. I just don't see it anymore. So there's a lot of ways, and clearly enough of the Rojas Marsh thing. I mean, I can't take it. I mean, either Crawford's got to get up here soon, or they just got to make a trade for an outfielder. You can't look Schwarber in the face and say, all right, Kyle, you got to deal with the Marsh Rojas thing for another, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 16 weeks. I mean, at a certain point, enough is enough. They just can't play. Let's go to the phones. Dave joining us right now, calling from Maryland. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, guys. Disappointed in the last week, obviously.
Yeah.
But a couple of things that I would make. And the first thing all hinges on Bryce and his health. Because if he's not healthy, I don't know what you can't invest in this team. But if he is healthy.
I'll say this, Dave. I actually don't totally agree with you, but I know that it makes you less likely to invest. I know that.
You move Kemp to third base in that case. That's what I would do there. But if he is the outfield situation, I think left field's a bigger problem than center field right now. Kepler and Weston Wilson.
Look, I got to tell you, man, I'm missing Cody Clemens.
Crawford.
I wish he was on. I'm serious.
They never played him. He's a better player
than Weston Wilson. The issue is he's left-handed. The problem is left-handed. That was the issue.
Mercado hits right-handed.
I'm just telling you.
I bring those guys up. I DFA Wilson and figure out what you're going to do with Kepler. But move Marsh to left and bring up Crawford as well and platoon Crawford and Rojas in center. Just to give a little bit something different, because there's no time in the day where I think that Max Kepler's coming up right now and getting a hit. And you say, well, what's Crawford going to do? He can't do worse than that, other than maybe damaging his confidence. But
right.
The pitching is good enough to win, though. That's the frustrating part.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question about that.
You're getting six innings. You're getting six innings, two runs, one run.
Yeah.
Every game.
Look, other than the two Lizardo games, they've actually pitched well in these last 10.
Absolutely. So,
I happen to agree with him.
I'd just shuffle the outfield, but you can't, I would wait. Like James said, I'd wait a month.
Okay.
Figure out what's going on.
Dave, give me an answer.
You get a better picture on the injuries. You get a better picture on where you are.
Dave, give me a movie scene involving college.
Blutarski 0.0.
You got it, my man.
Really good.
Ruben, go ahead.
I would definitely, once the kid Crawford, they believe he's ready to go, I'd bring him. I would bring him, but I'd rather bring him in a situation where the other guys were actually going well offensively, so he didn't have the feeling that he had to be the guy to carry.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't carry the team. Otto Kemp knows he's not there to carry the team. He knows he's just there to
get an opportunity. Ruben, tonight?
Yeah.
Batting Otto Kemp third.
Stop it.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. But
I mean, Bowman, the three-year-old, it's like not crazy to
say
that.
Difference?
I was kidding, by the way.
I don't think that he's ready for that yet.
But I will say that it is
about time once this kid is ready. Now, again, it's about him being ready. I would bring him. And what you do with your outfield, whether it's, you know, sliding – you know, Marsh to left or doing whatever you got to do to make give it a little bit more, inject some life into it, I would definitely consider
that. Is a two-game winning streak long enough to bring him up in your – because I understand what you're saying. You don't want the town to put pressure on him, let alone him put extra pressure on himself. If they have a two- or three-game winning streak, is that long enough to – because we also know this, there's probably not a ton that's really going
to
change.
I'd love to have Bryce back before he comes to the big
leagues.
Well,
we don't know.
And I'm hopeful that he comes back in you know, short time here. I think it will be. But we don't know. How short are you thinking? I just think, once his IL is over, I think he should be ready. I hope.
And when is that exactly?
I mean, that was retro, like six days.
IL,
it was
right?
June 6th. It was retro, too. Yeah. But the way he's talking, Ruben, what gives you that confidence? Because, I mean, the way he's talking, the way he said it's like we're going to rest and then get to treatment, it feels longer necessarily,
but I do believe that it'll be shorter rather than longer.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, Rube, shout out, because a lot of people listening right now, I mean, look, we're all frustrated with the Phils, but we love the Phils. And you are really tapping into the Phil's history with the golf outing coming up this week. Tell us about it.
It's Thursday.
So it's the Richie Ashburn and
Harry Callis Foundation. Great. And we were combining with Ruben Amaro Senior Foundation as well. It's a kind of a dual thing this year. But we've been doing it pretty much every year the last maybe 3 or 4 years. And it's a golf outing at Yardley Country Club. We're going to have a bunch of folks there. Joe's going to join us. And John might join us.
We're working on him.
He's not a big golfer, but he might join us. We're working on him.
Good.
I'm working him hard. But a bunch of celebrities that are going to be out there, and we're getting a lot of support. What we basically do is run free camps for kids during the course of the summer in all parts of the city here in the Delaware Valley here. And we do about 8 to 12. It kind of depends on the year. And it probably affects anywhere from 1,200 to 1,800 kids a summer. So
good,
something we've been doing for a while, but I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And is there a website, do you know, people want to donate?
It's AshburnCallisFoundation.org if you'd like to donate. And I think we're wrapped up as far as sponsorship and stuff like that is concerned. But if you want to donate, AshburnCallisFoundation.org.
Well, congrats, Ruben. That's great.
Thanks, man.
And obviously attached to your father and Richie and Harry. Yep. I mean, some of the most beloved figures in the history of the town. That's awesome. We're going to get to some Eagles stuff in a moment. Something Jaws said recently about the NFC East. Let's talk to Nick in Bucks County right now. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I want to give a shout-out to Jimmy. Joe, while you were off doing cake stands and beer bongs, Jimmy was holding down the fort, man.
That's awesome, man. That's great.
Yeah, so great small ball. I really like the bunny was actually exciting, which is surprising. I have some moves to make, though.
Okay.
Trey Turner may not be happy, but he's moving to second base. Scott's moving over to shortstop. I got Kemp and Miller playing third base. Jamal Crawford's out in center field.
Justin.
I'm making a trade for Bowman McGarry for Seattle's Canzone and Munoz.
They wouldn't give you Munoz for both of those guys.
All right, so other than the last thing,
I would be willing to throw in some more prospects. I think we got to make a move now, and we got to bring the daycare back, but it's got to be a younger crop of daycare. And I think Crawford and Aiden Miller and Otto Kemp are the way to go.
Well, you're talking a lot of change. I mean, a lot of change. And I don't think it'll be
too daycare for my taste. It's so up and down. This team is bipolar, man.
Yeah, they do have a tendency to go up and down, man. It's something. It's very concerning how few hitters you really feel like you can consistently count on. At this point, it's what? Schwarber, Trey's kind of moved into that.
Schwarber, Trey, and Harper, and that's it.
That is it. And it's not even the best version of Harper. Well, Nick, we'll see.
We got the nicest day of the week coming up tomorrow for the game. I can't wait to see y'all, and Jen's excited, too, to get out and meet you guys.
Good, man. Well, Nick, we look forward to it tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon, we're going to have a great time with so many of our listeners. Give me a great answer for a college movie scene. You can win the $100 of Wild Fork Foods.
Love this scene, man. It is hilarious. From the moment he starts his beer bong to the moment he says it's so good once it hits the lips, and then he goes streaking to the gymnasium, and his wife picks him up. I'm going Frank the Tank in Old School.
I think it's too similar to what I said.
It's what you said.
If you kept it specifically in the home,
it's all the same though. It's like that scene plays out.
All right, different scene, Nick. I already said it.
Okay, I got a different scene. Absolutely, you're my boy, Blue.
Oh, yeah,
good one too.
That's another great answer.
All right, actually, my favorite Frank the Tank scene is still on the table.
Okay, all right. Well, big answers abound. 215-592-9494, including an answer from Jaws on the NFC East. We'll get to that coming up in a minute.
If you're looking for the perfect gift for Dad this year for Father's Day, I highly recommend a Wild Fork gift card. I promise you, Dad will love it. A Wild Fork gift card won't disappoint. Whether Dad's a grill master or never cooks at all, Wild Fork's Forkies will help Dad select and prepare a steakhouse quality meal at home. And Dad will be amazed by Wild Fork's huge selection of quality meats and seafoods at unmatched prices. Like USDA Choice Angus Bone and Beef Cowboy Steak, only $13.98 a pound, or USDA prime beef picanha. It's only $9.98 a pound, just like at the Brazilian Steakhouse. Unbelievable. They even have the best desserts, the chocolate mousse cake. The chocolate lava cake. We can't get enough of that at my house. But Father's Day, it's June 15th. It's coming up soon. So head to one of their greater Philadelphia retail locations today. I was just there yesterday. Grab a gift card for Dad. And while you're there, do a little shopping for yourself. Dad can shop in-store or online at Wild Fork Online or same-day delivery. You get same-day delivery right to your door, wildforkfoods.com.
All right, so obviously the Phil's main thing today, we're all trying to figure out how to solve their problems. They won a game last night, but I don't think they exactly solved all the problems. So we're drilling down on that. Also, we've got, you know, a coming football season, and the Eagles to get together today. Sirianni will speak publicly. Obviously, he'll talk to the team as well, as it's the one day that they have a mandatory minicamp. Now, I think and that's really a minicamp when it's a one-day camp. That's a mini-minicamp. I think we all know, because we see the graphic, John, it feels like 10 times a year when we're watching a game, they'll put the graphic up. That no NFC East team has repeated since your squad in 04. That's amazing. 03 Eagles, 04 Eagles. 04 Eagles, the last time. I mean, this is unbelievable.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
You can't explain it.
Especially
like,
because the Eagles have had a lot of quality seasons in there, but never been able to sustain two in a row of excellence like that. The Cowboys had some really good seasons in there. They didn't sustain it. The Giants won two Super Bowls in there. Mm-hmm. They didn't sustain it. You know what I mean? Like, it's amazing that it's been 21 years since there's been a repeat. All right, so what's the point? The point is Jaws was on with the Midday guys the other day. And not so much talking about that reality, but basically it's a don't sleep on some of these NFC East teams that you might just assume the Eagles are going to walk all over this year. Here's Jaws talking the other day to the Midday guys.
I actually think as I now start preparing for the season, I look at the other teams that Washington did, what Dallas is doing, what New York is doing. I think all three teams have gotten better in the offseason. I really do. So, and you look around the league, we got to play the NFC North.
Oh, yes.
Man, that's murderer's row.
The AFC West.
And the AFC West. So the schedule is vicious. It's going to be a hard schedule. You know, you win 12 games that schedule, it's going to be a hell of a feat. So the schedule, the improvement of the other teams, you know, eventually you keep thinking – Washington's got to improve, right? They can't keep screwing this up every single year like they did on Dan Snyder. So they finally got some leadership in the front office. They got a quarterback that's going to be a phenomenal player and a real challenge for everybody. I like Dart up in New York. He's a guy that I'd like for the draft. So, and they got the best defensive player in the draft, maybe the best overall player in the draft. The Giants did. So they're going to be better. And Dallas, you know, you look at their roster, they got a good roster. But, you know, they lost their quarterback last year, and you're not going to overcome that.
I will say. I mean, it gets my attention a bit. I do think Dallas is going to be better than people think. People act like, look, Dak didn't play great last year, but they also acted like he played the whole season. He didn't. I mean, that completely submarined their season. So it's, you know, John, a lot of people, let me ask
Dallas
you this, John.
Dallas will be better than they were last year. They went and shook it up. You know, they've got a new head coach. You know, the Schottenheimer thing, like he's got the family pedigree, and he actually sounds like he knows what he's doing. I don't know that he knows what he's doing. He sounds like he knows. And look, sometimes that's all you need to get by at the start. You know, the players, if they believe in, hey, the town starts believing again, they got a lot of talent. And they just mismanage it all.
Well, they had the same GM and owner.
Yeah,
they had
Jerry,
the same GM. That
you.
Has not changed.
Yep, thank you.
I'm with
that's
you.
That's a great point. Start
so
at the top. I can't believe he hasn't fired himself.
Wow. He's probably.
I don't get it.
Pulled back on his own influence, saying, hey, I'm going to go a little more hands off. And then he went more hands-on in recent years. Like, I think he knew better and said, hey, I'm going to go laissez-faire. And then they were doing better. And then inexplicably could not keep his
hands-on. Because the spotlight has to be on him.
Football GM. Hire a football GM and let him run the show.
I agree.
James, is it a two? No, we don't want that. We certainly don't want that. But yeah. They will be better this year.
James, a two-team race?
Yeah. I don't care. I'm Dallas not gonna be that much better. They're just not. They lost Zach Martin. They lost offensive line guys. Like they didn't make the team better. And Brian Schottenheimer might be Marty's kid. I think he's a average to below average offensive coordinator. I think it was a weak hire. I think Dallas is going to stink again. Yeah. Like, I think they're like 7-win team.
I don't sleep on Washington, man. That's going to be.
We're
a,
not. No, really we're saying two team. Team we're saying two team
really
division.
Good.
I agree.
It's going to be a really good team. It will not be a simple task.
They're going to be
really
tough,
good,
solid, both sides of the ball, and they keep adding talent. They've added a lot of veteran
and it's
talent
a lot of
for
older
leadership
talent.
And everything
it's
else. They got good coaches. Yes. Did you hear Jimmy Weiss?
I heard it twice.
It's coming. Like when he's talking.
Is he okay?
I had to cough and I was talking through it. Okay.
So, I mean, that was unbelievable.
I was talking through. I powered through. What do
it
you mean?
It sounds like Doc Holliday.
You know?
When
I'm like, Richie,
like,
I can be like,
can you cut that for us?
What did Doc Holliday die of? Tuberculosis in one of like a sanitarium in the old West.
That was good.
Yeah, hey, sometimes you got to wheeze through it, man.
All right,
like a little wheezy.
So the NFC's thing, obviously, on the table. We'll get to something Sirianni said recently. The Eagles get together as a squad today. Phils, we're trying to figure out how to solve their problems. I think I'm done with Bone. When he slammed that helmet down last night, I'm done. Ruben, do you get why that bothers
that
me?
That was out of frustration, but yes, I understand why it would bother you, because the narrative was that he's being a little childish.
Because here's the thing.
I was pissed because he didn't come through in a big situation.
But I think it affects his hitting.
Yeah.
I think that the mindset.
He's cutting off his own nose despite his face when he's swinging too early.
No, like, no, it's not so much too early.
His approach used to be part of what made him so great.
Here's what I'll say, Ruben. You know a million times more about baseball and hitting than I do. A million. All right? Now, I know more than Jack Fritz, but Ruben knows more than me. I don't think playing with, I don't know if
did
it's.
Did you put me and Jack Fritz in the same level?
Well, no. I'm saying if you know a million times more than me, you know 2 million more times than Fritz. What I'm trying, I'm complimenting you.
I'm kidding.
Like, you don't want to, play, like, I don't want to swing in golf angry. Because if I do, it's not going to go well. And I feel like baseball probably has a similar, like, if there's not a relaxed zone, then I feel like it's going to affect the hitter. And I feel like Alec Bohm is never freaking relaxed. And if he can't get himself there, because he has to get himself there. Like, it's really not the manager's job or the hitting coach's job. They can help hold his hand a little bit. But the player's got to get himself there. If he can't get himself there, then I'm done.
I think it is important to be free and easy when you're at the plate. I mean, Charlie Manuel used to talk about it all the time. When you're comfortable and you're not trying to press, and you're just knowing you can hit as opposed to hoping or pressing hard to hit, it makes it a little bit more difficult. It's a really tough thing to do. I mean, look at the numbers across the board right now as far as just production overall. I mean, it's down. Because the pitching's a little bit better. It's tougher and tougher to hit.
Yeah.
And I think it is. I think you're right about the fact that you sort of need to be a little bit more relaxed and calm. I think of guys like Manny Ramirez. I think about like Chipper Jones and Ken Griffey Jr. They're so relaxed and smooth and easy with their swings all the time, whether they're having success or not having success. They had a lot of success.
Yeah.
But I think that's sort of the mindset you want to have every time.
I mean, John, let me ask you this. As a Phillies fan, and you and I have seen all the Bohm. I mean, we've seen the whole thing, right? All 5, 6 years, whatever it's been. How aggravating is it, not only when he makes the out, but when he reacts to making the out? For you
I
as
just
a fan.
Think it's, I think it's gotten so much worse. There was a point in time where was being policed or something, where people were telling him, hey, I'm assuming people were, or maybe he just thought better of it. Like, hey, I can't possibly act so childishly as impetuously as actually swinging earlier than I should, which I can't believe. I really think he's doing that.
Well, there's a strategy there.
I think for him it's just a visceral reaction. I mean, he was upset with himself that he took that third strike.
Of course it is,
and it's a visceral reaction. It's hard to manage. You know, I sort of feel badly for him because I know he wants to do really well. And I can sense that when he does not perform well because he has an expectation to do so.
Well, we'll ask you the Twitter poll questions of the day, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question: of these four hitters, whose struggles bother you the most? Is it Bohm, Kepler, JT, or Stott? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Also, with the NBA Finals, annoyingly not on tonight. You got to wait till tomorrow. That's really irritating. Who do you prefer to see win the finals? Is it the Pacers or the Thunder? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. We'll talk to Elliot Shore-Parks in about a half hour or so, 8:25, an Eagles report as they get ready to get together today as a team. Let's go to Ed in Phoenixville right now. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. Looking forward to seeing everyone tomorrow. I don't want to step on Ken from Cinnamon's toes, but I'm trying to think of an incredibly bulky gift to bring to you, Joe.
Hey, please do. I'll take it.
I'll leave that to Ken. And I think a good punishment for whoever loses this Jack versus Joe thing is the winner gets to wear the Almond Joy T-shirt and the loser has to wear the Mound shirt. And I'll just leave it at that. Because Almond Joy has something that Mounds doesn't. But anyway.
True.
So I don't really think there's much we can do with, you know, the assets we have in terms of trade. So, I mean, you look at Crawford's on-base percentage has been, like, steadily increasing. It's now, like, close to 420. And that's, like, the second most, like, reliable predictor of runs scored next to OPS. So why not bring him up now? I mean, I think now's the time.
I would think it's going to be pretty soon, Ed. Here's the thing. You either got to make a trade or you got to bring him up. There's no more of this Marsh Rojas nonsense. Especially when it's coupled with the Kepler nonsense. It's like it's like triple nonsense. It's only two positions, but it's three different guys.
Two nonsenses are negating, you know, the others.
It's brutal. Yeah,
I think it'd be unrealistic to think that 420 on base is going to translate immediately to the majors, but like he's hitting like 8 or 9 and he's on base when Trey Turner comes back up, you know, with his like contact rate, I mean, and the speed on the base pass, I mean, that could be a really good combination. And you know, like, but it kind of is indicative of where we are. Like, it's not ideal, but, you know, not necessarily in Bryson Stott's defense, but like, there's some real, like, developmental stuff he's got to work through. But, and Ruben can attest to this, like, sometimes you just got to get on base and then you get on base again. And I think it'll snowball after that, but I haven't.
Yeah,
really
here's
seen
the
much.
Ed. Here's the problem with Stott, and this makes me sad because I like Stott. He might just not be that good. Like he's a terrific defensive player. He's a terrific instinctive player. Okay, he's 2 for 2 right there, but he's just not, to my eye, a hitter that's progressing, and he may even be regressing. Probably is, and that's
a
problem.
He has been an advanced hitter.
Not he had one good year.
He's 27, man.
2023 he was good.
He's been a shrewd hitter.
No.
Like,
I'm surprised
by what he's looking at.
I am surprised that he has not developed particularly this year. I thought he would take off. I really did. I mean, I talked about, you know, I thought he would be the leadoff guy. I thought he'd be the leadoff guy for several years because he's got,
right,
because he has the instinct, yeah, and because he understands the strike zone and because he can foul pitches off and he has the eye-hand coordination to do so. I just think he's
naturally
gone through a tough
talented map. Offensive
yeah,
player.
I just think he is a much better player than he has performed. I'm surprised that he's not had more success on the fastball. Because a lot of these guys have not had success on the fastball, and if you can't be successful on the fastball, then that's a concern.
Yeah, that really sets you back. Hey, Ed, give me a big answer. A scene from a movie with college involved.
I think when Dean Wormer put them on double secret probation, that's my pick.
That certainly could win as well. Really that's a big one for sure. All right, Seltzer, your strategy for how to deal with the Phillies thing. What are you doing here?
Yeah, like I said before, I'm in a wait and see mode, as unexciting as that is. I can't commit to this group right now.
Commit
like
mean trade four.
What'd you say?
Trade four, meaning you're not adding.
Yes, my point being, like, even McGabe, who is, you know, the 6th, 7th, 8th guy in terms, yep, of the prospect rankings, we've seen him in the majors. I don't know that I want to give up the next 6, 7 years of McGabe to help this group right now. I don't think this group is good enough. The bullpen is nowhere close to good enough. I don't trust a single guy in there in a big spot to get outs. And then the lineup, I said it before, they got like 5 guys who are giving you absolutely nothing from the lineup. It's just too many holes to fix. if they play well over the next month, if Harper comes back, if they start to put it together, I can reevaluate. But right now, I'm definitely not adding to this.
Well, wild. I mean, James is even talking about maybe trading in a month and a half. That's something. Look, 215-592-9494 to weigh in. By the way, I couldn't weigh in on a lot because I was gone the last few days and at my college reunion and all sorts of stuff happened. So the Phil's free fall, Bryce's injury, the finals.
Did any cool stuff happen at your reunion that was salacious?
John, why does it always...
It has to be salacious. There's got to be something that went salacious.
Like, you went so low.
He needs a story. Give the man a story.
If I had a story, I wouldn't say it on the air. I don't have it.
Give it to him.
Or I do have it, and I'm not saying it on the air.
Well, that's the other thing.
Exactly.
That I can understand.
No, it was... Was it
debaucherous?
No, it was good camaraderie. I mean, what?
Good fellowship.
Fellowship.
Good fellowship.
Fellowship.
Wow, so everyone kind of grew up.
And I'll give you one.
That would be a no.
I didn't see this interaction.
Is it possible that people just grow up and they don't do debauchery stuff anymore?
I'll give you one. Nothing happened, but this was an interaction I did not witness, but I heard about it from both sides. I'm friends with both of them, okay? So a buddy of mine goes up to a girl that I'm friends with, and he goes, did we hook up in college?
No.
And this girl's extremely attractive.
Oh, buddy.
Was and still remains. So he goes...
And what's his status?
Listen.
Wow.
He hasn't aged well?
You're asking too many questions. Ruben, you're asking too many questions.
Cool.
So my buddy goes up to her and goes, so did we hook up in college? She goes, no. He goes, you sure? She goes, yes. He goes, well, just so you know, I would have.
Oh, my God. How many beers did he had at this point?
That's bold.
Did she laugh?
As it gets. She had a chuckle.
Let's just say I heard about it from both of them. Okay.
Did she find it amusing?
She was super psyched about it, huh?
She said the conversation got weirder from there.
That's a good one. You know? John, I like that one.
All right, not bad. So there you go. Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494.
Funny that you got it from both sides.
Yes. So. Yeah. Yeah. So it must have really been a moment because both of them
were. Was he proud of himself?
It is what it is.
It's fascinating how guys always seem to be the one who they overestimate themselves. You know, we overestimate ourselves.
That's true.
Always.
Well, my guess is he was well aware of the answer. I think it was more of a, you know, moving forward point. But anyway. All right. So while I was away. Yes, the college reunion was great. The finals, the game one was nuts. But two other things. Tennis match, it was an all-time match. That was really amazing, French Open. That was really... Actually, both the men and women's side was great. But the men was all-time. But the craziest thing when I was away, it related to sports. I don't know if you guys talked about this yesterday. Allen Iverson turned 50?
Yeah,
it's nuts.
Guys, Allen Iverson
shouldn't be allowed.
He's 50? I mean, he's 50.
What's wrong with that?
Well, good for him, but I mean, Allen Iverson is, you know, I think of him as a 25-year-old. Like, he's 50 years old. I remember when Ali turned 50. I remember when Jordan turned 50. And, or maybe I remember Ali at 60. I forget. He was on the cover of, like, SI or something. But I definitely remember when Jordan and Barkley turned 50, like, 10 or so years ago. But Allen Iverson, 50? Man, that was, oof. 215-592-9494. Let's get to Luke in Wilmington. Luke. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Luke?
Hey, Luke.
Does the toga party answer count as a double secret probation?
Double secret probation, I think, was in the dean's office, right?
Okay. Then I'll keep it short. I'm on my way to work. I'll go with the toga party from Animal House.
Yeah, I don't think they were doing that in front of the dean.
Iconic.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's massive. That's a massive answer.
That is a big answer. I mean, that's the third or fourth we've got from Animal House alone. We're getting Old School and we're getting Animal House today. I mean, there's other movies, but those two I knew were going to be said with multiple.
Well, Animal House was mine.
And we got one Back to School. Well, that's your wheelhouse. That's your age. Yeah. That's
correct. Yeah. Well, yeah.
All right. So, Luke, what do you got on the Phillies, buddy?
Phillies. So, You were the Twitter poll question of the day in terms of who am I most worried about?
No, well, the question wasn't worried. We're also discussing that. The question was bothered by.
Oh, bothered by?
Yeah.
Oh, I would, I mean, I think the obvious answer is Boehm, yeah. But in terms of a more in-depth thing, Stott's not, I know Stott's a pretty conservative hitter, but he doesn't seem to be walking enough. His on-base percentage isn't really where, like, you would expect a guy like his to be.
Luke, the lack of walks is a disaster with some of them, and that includes Stott, Castellanos, and particularly Boehm. So I got the numbers right in front of me. Boehm this year has 11 walks, which is really horrendous. I mean, just horrendous. Like, just as a for instance, Bryce Harper is 35. So Bryce Harper has 35 walks. Castellanos has 14, and Stott has 20. It's you know, those are low numbers, but 11 is really, really low. I mean, that means he's on pace for probably, you know, 28 or so for the year. I mean, that's horrendous.
Certainly. I also wanted to touch, so weighted runs created is kind of like a all-tell stat for hitters.
Yep.
100 is average. Most of the Phillies lineup is sitting right under 100, and while that isn't terrible, like Stott and Boehm, I think Boehm's at like 90, and I think Stott's at like 84. Not to go too in-depth with the stat,
sure.
But like it's really bothersome that those guys, like, and it kind of stems to the being on base and stuff like that, but it really is worrying and bothersome that these guys aren't getting on base and creating runs.
Look, Luke, they won the game last night primarily, and thanks for the call, man, because they got a good starting pitching game, which kept them in the game when they weren't scoring. I mean, it was 2-2 at the end of 9. I mean, that's like playing a football game that's, you know, 13-13 these days. I mean, it's not a recipe for consistently winning. And now, look, I mean, they had back-to-back punts in the 11th inning,
which was a lot better at bunting than the last time I remember us trying to be bunting.
No, they were great bunts. They were
spectacularly placed bunts.
And they were perfectly executed. They did exactly what they're supposed to. When you have a man on second base, you bunt it to third. When you have a man on first base, you bunt it to first. And, I mean, they didn't end up getting credit for 4 sacrifice bunts. They ended up getting 2 hits out of it.
Right.
But, I mean, that would have been the most of all time, probably in the latest era. 4 sacrifice bunts in one game.
We had 4 in a season.
That's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Maybe of all time.
Well, back-to-back hits, I think, might be even more
spectacular.
But guys, it's the scrappiness, it's the fight, it's this team not in a good spot, figuring out a way to win when the bats are not working the way that they should in terms of hitting the ball out of the park. You know, this team was supposed to be built to
slug.
You know, hit it out.
Yes.
Out,
and they're not doing that. They're like 14th, I think, in baseball since May 1st, and I think they're only like 12th in the league. And they should be slugging more, especially at this yard.
And so they're figuring out ways to win. In the meantime, how do you bring slugging back, Ruben? How do you?
I have no idea. I literally have no idea.
Can I answer the question?
You get on the fastball.
You guys know in Scrabble, when you got bad pieces, you know you're allowed to skip your turn and just turn in the pieces for 7 new pieces?
You can't. Stop.
No.
No, wait, I don't think that's
a secret rule?
No, that's in the Scrabble game. I don't think you can really do that. Yes, you can. The point is, the only way to get this team to really start hitting a ton of home runs is to change the players.
You're trading in
7 new players?
Pieces.
Yes. I mean, what do you expect? Castellanos suddenly start hitting 30 homers?
No.
I mean, you know,
I do expect him to realize he can't get to second.
Well, he should have known that. That was horrendous. But look, they did win the game, and they won it with a nice rally in the 11th inning. Let's get to it, because they're down a run entering that 11th. But you know what? The ghost runner on second to start the inning. You do have a really good chance to score a run. Turns out they scored 2. With, I guess it was, 4 straight hits. Let's listen to how it went down.
Well, we go to the bottom of the 11th. Last chance time for the Phils here at Extra Innings as they're staring at a 6-game losing streak. JT Realmuto is going to lead it off here in the 11th. Swung on, line to right. It's a base hit down the line. Castellanos coming around third. He's going to come home and score. Throw will go to second, and JT ties the ball game. Well, here's Bryson Stott, and Palencia delivers, and Stott pushes a bunt. It's a good one. Third base side. Shaw, bare hand, flip to first. Not in time. Stott beats it out. And here's Otto Kemp. First ever game here at Citizens Bank Park. He is bunting, and he pushes it third base side. It's a great bunt. Picked up by Bush. Throw back to first. Not in time. And Otto Kemp is aboard, and the bases are loaded. Nobody out. And here comes Brandon Marsh, who didn't start the game, but he's got a chance to win it. Swing and a drive. Center field and deep. JT is home to score, and the Phillies have won it. Brandon Marsh with a walk-off as the Phillies rally for two runs in the bottom of the 11th, and they beat the Cubs and snap their losing streak of 4-3 wins.
Well, it was a much-needed victory, and obviously Scott Fransky on the call last night here on WIP. They got the win. Now, it doesn't solve the problems, but it does at least for a day give them a reprieve. They're a game and a half up right now. They're four back of the Mets. They're a game and a half up on the third wild card. Now, the Phillies actually right now hold the first wild card. So I do want to say for everyone who's like gloom and doom and like people acting like maybe let's start trading pieces off, which I am absolutely not at all. And I'm not telling you I'm happy, but I'm not thinking about trading pieces away. I'm absolutely not. With that, you know, to like give up on the season. And there's some sentiment of that being said today. They are currently in the first wild card spot, but they're also hovering not too far away from losing all of that because they're only a game.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to half up on the Cardinals, who would be fourth in the wild card standing. So things could flip quickly, and they got to play better. And we're trying to figure out today how they can do that. Now, the Eagles can't play better. What the Eagles' mission this year is going to be is to try to maintain what they had, or at least close to it, to try to win another Super Bowl, or at the very least have another outstanding season. And they take another step today in the process because they get together with a mandatory minicamp. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake studio. So the Eagles get together as a group. John, the mini camp has never been more mini. It's one day, which I guess is a couple hours, so it's a mini, mini, mini camp.
I wonder how many it can be, because we know their practices can be real short. Right. This mini practice is not going to be real short. Is it? This is probably going to be like an old school type Andy Reid in August.
Dream on, buddy.
No.
Dream on.
You think?
No. Dream on.
Like a 2.5 hour? Is it even possible?
I think it's going to be more about messaging. Here's who we are. Here's what we do. And by the way, make sure everyone's got the playbook and come ready in 6 weeks for camp.
Don't get in trouble.
But it's always,
don't lose the playbook, but learn it.
It's always important to note who is not there. And guys, everyone, we have the full playbook. Yeah. Here's the basics. And let's do some team periods. You know, the 7-on-7 period. Let's do the 9-on-7 period where we're installing some run plays, Install the pass plays.
Ruben, by the way,
do the team periods. Sure.
Ruben,
that's fun.
I don't know if you know, I saw the Eagles playbook last night. Did I tell you about this?
No.
First 125 pages.
Really?
Hand the ball to Saquon Barkley.
Great call.
Yeah. It's very simple playbook. Just get the ball to number 26. All right.
But other people do.
Sirianni will get the team together today. Maybe they even already are. We'll talk to Elliot coming up later this hour, get a report on the Eagles. But Sirianni also addressed the team recently because, you know, they've had these OTAs. And part of it is him messaging here's who we are. Here's what we represent. Here's what I want you to be as a team. Let's listen to a message. This is the kind of thing we heard a lot last year when the Eagles would disseminate information about how Sirianni talked to the guys. It's the same messaging, and that's good because it worked. And Here's
Great.
Here is Sirianni. This was a week or so ago with the guys, and here's, because remember, you got some new players in there, so you got to indoctrinate them on, into the Eagles thing. And here's a message Sirianni gave to a group recently.
All right, hey, this is what's awesome about football. Everybody from a different area of the country and out of the country, right? And we're getting to know each other right here. That's what's all, I love this part about football. Everybody that you just saw is here to help you do your job better. All right, we're going to introduce you, right, to our core values. Your core values are your, is your habits. That's all it is. Right, these are the things that we'll talk about over and over again, day in, day out. Tough, detailed, together. Tough, detailed, together. These are the truths of football. The toughest team usually wins. The more detailed team usually wins. The more together team usually wins. Everybody's talented, right? Talent can get you, right, 9-10 wins, right? But to do special shit, it takes special requirements.
He is very consistent. He's just like,
you think?
He is very. And I wondered last year and worried last year entering the season, like maybe it's too much of the same stuff and you got to mix up the messaging. I didn't think the principles were wrong, but I thought maybe, you know, John, like maybe sometimes the messaging, and Ruben, you would know from a sports standpoint, I guess messaging can get stale, but it worked.
Yeah, it can get stale, not but I mean, but here. he's a pretty innovative guy, and yes, I mean the foundation and the basics sort of have to stay the same, and there's no problem, no issue with me reiterating those. But I mean, the way that he presents, he'll change it up because he's an innovative person. He understands people, and they love playing for him.
Well,
there's a reason
do.
Why,
and I don't.
There's a reason why they love playing for him.
Yeah, and last
he's
year,
got their back.
Last year is the first year I can remember him doing the. You can't be great without the greatness of others thing.
Yeah.
So he will probably have some new wrinkles,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But,
oh, no, no
but he clearly believes in sticking with the core principles, which I think is admirable. If they're core principles, they're core. I mean, it is what it is. And I do like that he, because John, not everyone does this. He talks about tough, not only mental toughness, like he leans into the physical football toughness, which some people yeah. kind of shy away from, it seems like these days.
And
but it's
you know
a brutal
what
combat
to
sport.
Those teams.
They lose.
They Miami Dolphins.
Right.
Seriously.
I know.
You know what I go
no,
back
serious,
to?
The Miami Dolphins, and now they're stuck in a situation yeah. where they're not going to get better because you've got a team who's, I don't know, living the best life the way they want to live without yeah. the discipline that really needs to take place. And you, like, you can have fun, but you do need to be disciplined and tough with these players to some degree.
I go back to what Howie told me when he hired him. He said he's not only a great coach, he's a great person.
That's important.
Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
And if people believe that when they're in the locker room, that he's a great person and they've got their back, that means a lot. It really does.
Sirianni could be here
for a long time.
A long time. Andy, I guess, is the longest. Is Andy the longest tenured since, like, Connie Mack? Connie Mack was 50 years with the A's. Andy was 14?
Probably. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, Connie, I don't know who else would be, yeah.
You know, Connie Mack coached until he was 87 years old.
Oh, yes.
Bless him.
Oh, yes.
But anyway, I mean, Sirianni's got a
shot in a suit
for 10 years plus. Then again, we thought Doug had a shot for 10 years plus, and, you know, 2 or 3 years after the Super Bowl, they were like, all right, bye-bye.
Well, listen, two seasons ago, we didn't know if Nick was going to make it to
two
you know,
seasons. How about last year?
A year before last season.
Unbelievable. All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on the Eagles thing. Elliot Shore Parks at 825, a report as the Eagles get ready for this mandatory minicamp. Also, more on the Otto Kemp. Congrats to that guy. Got some knocks last night. Made a real impact on the Phillies winning that game. What he said after the game about the first big league hit and more and the crowd reaction, we'll get to that. But more than anything today, trying to solve the Phillies' problems, what they realistically can do and what they should do to try to climb out of the malaise they've been in, even though, yes, they did win a game last night. That and more up ahead, phone calls and all this on 94 WIP.
John, you and I have both had our new windows from Window Nation for a little bit now, and it's beyond keeping my house comfortable. The thing that really strikes me is the quality. They feel super secure and solid.
I know exactly what you mean, and that's the confidence that comes with their 50-point factory inspection and a lifetime warranty. Plus, their installers are true specialists, many with over 15 years of experience. They installed my windows while I took a nap. They were so considerate. so exceedingly great at their jobs and so silent. It was unbelievable.
So it's really no wonder why they have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and over 45,000 five-star reviews. They've installed over 3 million windows across the country. They are not just a company. They are experts you can genuinely trust.
And for anyone who wants that same trust and quality, Window Nation is making it incredibly easy. Buy four windows, you get four more completely free. And if you replace a whole house full of windows, they'll give you a free exterior door.
Plus, you can do it all now and not worry about the bill. Get 2 years with no payments, no interest, and no money down. Hurry, sale ends June 30th. Don't overpay for windows. Call 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.